Everyone,
good morning.
Welcome back. It's nice to see so many familiar faces and new faces as well, which is obviously very nice. So today what I want to do is shift a little bit from some of the themes we've been talking about up until now, which, as my mom pointed out, she goes, "You've been talking about sin a lot recently." I said, "I guess it's on my mind." So we're going to shift a little bit and do something a little happier. So we're going to do chapter 24 of Tehillim. I left it on my desk. Actually is a very famous chapter. And the reason why it's so famous is we read it quite often. Now, the women in the room might not appreciate this as much, but the men certainly will. And that is, we read chapter 24 every time we put back the Sefer Torah, not on Shabbos. So, for example, this morning we put back the Sefer Torah, and on... Even when Yontif falls out on a weekday, we put it back. We use it to put back the Sefer Torah. It's the Shir Shel Yom of Sunday. It's a song of the day for Sunday, so we got to figure that out. And most importantly, I guess, is that we read this chapter of Tehillim after Marv on Rosh Hashanah night. Okay, now, for me, that's amazing. Why? Because I'm usually not done with my Shmon Esrei by the time everyone starts getting antsy, which means I send the Chazan ahead. So he's already going to do the Kaddish in this Perek of Tehillim. Now, this Perek of Tehillim, when we read it on Rosh Hashanah, is read very slowly, with a lot of Chazanut, with a lot of Chazanus, which is perfect, because it buys me time to finish my Shmon Esrei, and also be done to shake everyone's hand at the end, which is obviously the most important function of a rabbi on the Yom Narayim. Now, it's not just Chazal that found this as a strange thing to put at the end of Rosh Hashanah davening, but I want to share with you a quote. This is a quote from Cantor Malavani, Chazan Mal. I don't know who that is, but I do know who it is. But I don't appreciate who that is because I'm not a Chazanas guy. But those of you who like Chazanas here definitely know the name. So he was interviewed by Jewish Action, which is the OU's publication, a little while ago. And he was asked the following question. Again, this is a Chazan, world famous. And he was asked, "What is the most inspiring moment for you in the whole davening on the Yom Narayim, in the High Holidays?" Now, each one of us would have our own answer to that. For some it would be, a lot of people love like Ein Kitzvah, or some people love Unasana Tokef. And right, everyone kind of has their moment where the Chazanus and the moment, the Kol Nidre, right? So what's his answer? His answer was quite surprising. He said, "I feel a lot of kavana, inspiration, during the chapter of Tehillim, Le David Mizmor," which is our chapter, okay, that we say at the end of Mar. Why? Le David Mizmor is not a praise of God. Well, everything is a praise of God, but in his mind, it is a plea. A plea. As we'll see in a second, Mi'ale Bahar Hashem, we'll read the words, who can ascend to God's heights? He said in that chapter of Tehillim, as the Shliach Tzibor, as a Baal Tefillah, as a Chazan, again, the Shliach Tzibor is at the front of the room, and you're kind of carrying everyone on your shoulders. So you are that sort of intermediary figure between the people and Hashem. So he says, as the Shliach Tzibor, I confront the congregation, and I confront God. Okay, you have two sides to you. Your face is to Hashem, and kind of your back is to the congregation. I'm telling the people, you appointed me as your Shaliach Tzibor, so now I, as your teacher and as your mentor, am here to remind you that only a person who has Niki Kapayim Uvar Levav, we'll see that in a second, who has clean hands and a pure heart can do tshuva. Right, so he has an obligation to inspire the people. At the same time, I am also talking to Hashem. God, please remember who is coming to you, who you want to get closer to you, those who try to be of clean hands and a pure heart. Okay, I am doing my job, asking them to become better people. Now, you please do your job and accept them. So for him, in really a counterintuitive experience, for him, this is the central, most inspiring moment where he comes before Hashem, and he's kind of having a dual conversation at the same time. Where on the one hand, he's trying to inspire an entire congregation, and on the other hand, he's having a very personal, intimate conversation with Hashem. Now, most Chazanim, and I was surprised by his response, most Chazanim would express that at what moment in davening? Right? What moment? Hinani. Right? When, right before Musaf, when we all get that like 2 minutes to sit down before we're about to do a really long Shmon Esrei, so the Chazan says Hinani, where he says, basically, I stand before you, Hashem, and I am unworthy, and yet I ask of you, because I am a emissary of the people, to please, you know, please listen to my words and make them sweet in your eyes. And anyone who's ever played a leadership role in davening knows that that's a very emotional time, right? I think it was last year in the minyan I was in, the chazan started crying and for about 5 minutes couldn't go on. Because it's a very emotional. You're having a conversation with Hashem. You're saying, I'm not worthy to lead this people, and yet you have empowered me to do so. Please make my words worthy. I know as a rabbi, first of all, there's no money in the world that could get me to be a chazan on the Yom Narayim. I'd rather a root canal than that. But and by the way, you would also be like having a root canal, having to listen to me. But I feel that as a rabbi. Right? When I get up to speak on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, you're not just... It's not a speech like on a Shabbos and Parshat Shlach in the summertime. It's a different kind of speech. That you really feel this awesome responsibility to both inspire people, but also to make yourself worthy as being a conduit to inspire people towards Hashem. It's an amazing experience. People always ask me, they say, how can you be a rabbi on the high holidays? Isn't it so busy? And you, I said, I don't know how you don't, right? The fact that I am standing there as the representative of the people, as that that makes my Rosh Hashanah, that makes my Yom Kippur. So what we have to figure out is why, out of all chapters in Tehillim, this chapter uniquely was chosen, A, every time we put back the Sefer Torah, so that's Mondays, that's Thursdays, that's Yontif, we do it a lot, okay? Why it was chosen as the song of the day for Sunday in particular, could have been Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, right? Sunday. And lastly, out of all the chapters that could have been chosen on Rosh Hashanah night, why this one was chosen and why Chazan Malavani finds this the most inspiring, meaningful, emotional part of all of Rosh Hashanah davening. Okay, so that's our homework today. Now to get there, we're going to read the chapter of Tehillim. It's not a very long chapter of Tehillim. It's 10 verses. But you'll see it is a very disjointed chapter of Tehillim. And that's part of what we're going to have to do, is figure out how all the pieces fit together. So what I'm going to do, and we haven't done this in the previous ones, but you'll see why for this one, I'm going to read through it somewhat quickly, just to give us that kind of broad strokes overview of the chapter, and then we'll break it down a little bit and go through some of the bigger themes. But again, the whole time, what should strike you is just how disjointed this chapter is. So we start verse Aleph, verse 1. L'David mizmor l'Adonai ha'aretz umla'a. So to Hashem is the land. Umla'a means and its inhabitants. In other words, those who fill the land. Tevel v'yoshreva. Tevel, the commentaries explain, means the inhabited parts of the world. V'yoshreva, and those who are dwelling in it. Right? So it's a little bit redundant for our purposes, but there is a difference between them. Okay, so l'Hashem ha'aretz umla'a, everything belongs to Hashem. The heavens, the earth, the uninhabited parts, the inhabited parts. Kihu al yamim yisada ve'al ne'aros yichonena. Why does everything belong to Hashem? Because, after all, He created it. Right? Remember when we go back to the story of Genesis, of Bereishis? So when Hashem creates the world, so there was no separation of church and state. Right? There was no separation. Sorry, I was debate last night, so politics are on my mind. Right? So there was no separation between the heavens and the earth. It was all one big mishmash. And Hashem, at some point, divided the two of them, which, if you think about it, is enormously miraculous. And I'm sure someone who's better at science will explain all of that to us from a scientific perspective. But again, so why does everything belong to Hashem? Because after all, kihu al yamim yisada, He was the one who was able to put the water in its place. V'al ne'aros yichanneh, and again, similar idea. He was able to separate the heavens and the earth. Okay? Now we get to verse number 3. Mi yaleh b'har Hashem u'mi yakum b'mkom kadsho. Who is going to, yaleh means to
go up,
to go up to the har Hashem, to the mountain of Hashem. Umiyakum bimkom kancho. And who is going to be able to stand in that holy place? Now, obviously, ascending and standing are two different things. Okay? In spirituality, it's one thing to inspire yourself to go on a spiritual journey. It's another thing to sustain that spiritual level. Right? We see this oftentimes with Bali Tshuva, with people that go through a spiritual journey, right? So they become on fire and they make significant changes in their life. And then you kind of get to the day-to-day grind of Judaism, where it's not as exciting anymore and it's not as of a wow experience as it was when you first became inspired. And it's a lot harder to do that. I was talking to someone a little while ago who became inspired through Eish HaTorah. And subsequently, let's just say, he's no longer as bought into the program. So when I was talking to him about it, he said, you have to understand, when I was at Eish HaTorah, every Shabbos was like an Ela experience. Right? Every Shabbos was wow and amazing and singing and Zmiros and the food and the environment and the atmosphere. And he said, when I experienced that, I said, that's what I want my Friday night dinner to be like. That's what I want my Shabbos experience to be like. And then he said, what happens? You come to my house on a Friday night. This is, right? So the kids are fighting with each other, and the dad is tired, and the mom is passing out and on the couch. And he's sitting there, and he's saying to himself, like, what happened? What happened to the Eish HaTorah Shabbos? What happened to Zmiros and different Torah and guests? And he's like, and then just everyday life crept in. And Shabbos stopped becoming as inspiring as it was in Eish HaTorah. And it lost all of its luster. And he said, I can't create that level of spirituality, that experience. So that's the difference between Mi'ale Bahar Hashem. It's one thing to light yourself on fire, to become inspired, to climb the mountain. But Umiyakum Bimkom Kacha, who's going to be able to sustain it? That's a lot harder in many respects. That's a lot more difficult. So, okay, so who's going to ascend this mountain and be able to stay on it? Verse 4, verse Dalet. Niki Chapayim Uvar Levav. Asher lo nasa l'asham nafshi v'lo nishpa l'mirma. Niki kapayim means someone whose hands are clean. Okay, in other words, they're not, let's say, they're not taking bribes, they're not doing anything inappropriately. Okay, uvar levav. We came across the word var a little bit while ago. Var levav means someone who is a pure heart. Okay, so you have your actions, and you have your heart, which is your intention, so to speak. Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, they don't take God's name in vain. Now it's interesting that Hashem is referred to as nafshi. Nafshi means soul. So what we're referencing is the fact that we have a part of Hashem in each one of us. Right? Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, when Hashem refers to himself as our nefesh, as our soul, it's a reminder that there is a chelek of Hashem, there is a part of Hashem in every single one of us. So asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, who doesn't take God's name in vain, v'lo nishpa l'mirma, and doesn't swear falsely. Now, what does this pasuk mean? So on the one hand, as the Radak points out, this speaks to the three modalities that we connect with Hashem, which is maaseh, actions, that's the niki kapayim, my hands, I do actions with my hands. Number two is my dibor, my speech. Okay, that's asher lo nasa lashav nafshi. He doesn't speak God's name in vain. And last is machshava, my mind, my thoughts, my intentions, and that's through uvar levav. Okay, so we connect with Hashem through actions, through speech, through thought. Someone who is able to conquer all of that and channel that is going to be the person who's ya'ale b'har Hashem in yakum bimkom kacho. That's the person who's going to be able to attain this high level of spirituality. Now, a few very beautiful points on this. Number one is the Malbim says, what is this idea of v'lo nishpa l'mirma? Doesn't swear falsely. So you can translate that in literal terms, which simply says, yeah, you have to be a man of your word or a woman of your word. And if you had to characterize this pasuk in one word, what would you say? So I would characterize it as, what?
Integrity.
Integrity. That was the word. Exact word I was thinking of. Integrity. Right, honesty, it's all the same. But I think the word integrity carries, it's a more pregnant word. I think it carries a lot more implications. person who's has integrity. They're not lying. They're not hypocritical. They're not devious, right? Someone who's a straight shooter. Hey, you don't have to worry when you're doing business with them that they're going to try to mess you over, that they're trying to pull off. I'm in the parsha of leasing cars, right? So unfortunately, I made the mistake of leasing two at the same time a couple of years ago, which means that they both come up at the same time also, which means it's not just one headache, it's multiple headaches. It's two for the price of one in headache, right? They don't give you a deal. They just give you double the headache, right? So you go in. Any car salesman here? Am I about to insult anyone? Right? You go into that negotiation knowing that no matter what, you are getting messed over. Right? I mean, that the house always wins. Okay? And even when you think you're getting a deal, Phil, I'm telling you, we're losing money on this deal, but I'm doing it just for you. Right? Okay? We all know the game. If they're losing money on every deal, they go out of business. So the house always wins. Okay? You go into that conversation knowing that whatever you're being told is not the truth and that they're playing games with you. So that's the opposite of the Aleh Hashem Umiyakum. I'm sure they're wonderful car salesmen and they should all live and be well. But the ones I've dealt with, I struggle. I actually have, I will say that the person I do business with is a tzaddik. He really is. Now, he's messing me over. That's his job. I get it, right? But he happens to be a really righteous individual. He's 79 years old. It's a great... I'm going to speak about him in a drasha one day because I could talk to him for like hours and hours on end, and he is one of the most inspiring people I've ever met, right? Why? Okay. He's 79 years old. He calls himself, I sell cars on the side. What is his real job? He calls himself an advocate for the homeless, and he devotes his life to advocating for homeless people. It's really amazing. The work that he does with the city government to help homeless people, it's really astounding. And one of the other things that he does, he writes poetry. And his poetry is amazing. I mean, each one is a drasha in and of itself. It's really inspiring. So he gifted me a book of his poetry. And it's amazing. It's really beautiful things. In fact, I read one to Ariel the other night, and she was like, oh, poetry, car. And then I read it to her, she was like, wow, that's amazing. And a lot of it has to do with homeless people. And how when we meet homeless people on the streets, so we look past them because we make certain base assumptions about them and about the lives that they live. But oftentimes, they live lives that are far richer than many of us. And it's really beautiful. And it's really magnificent. And it's based on his experiences in dealing with homeless people. So I shouldn't cast aspersions about homeless people. I'm happy to share some of his poetry with you. But it's really powerful stuff. It's really, really powerful. Anyway, so... So someone who has integrity, when you talk to them, you know that they have integrity. When you do business with them, you know they have integrity. What else do you notice here, before I get to the Malbim? Niki kapayim uvar leva, actions and thoughts. What's he referring to here? So it's really a dig at one of the key problems, certainly in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Right, David HaMelech is obviously pre-Beis HaMikdash. His son is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's we're going to get to in a little bit. But what's one of the knocks of the Beis HaMikdash is that they were bringing korbanos, they were going through the motions, they were doing the actions, but what was missing? The soul of it, the emotion, the connection to it. The contemporary example is that they were coming to Minyan three times a day and they were spewing words, but they didn't mean what they were saying. They weren't putting any intention, any emotion, any mindfulness into what they were saying. So that, Niki Kapayim, says David HaMelech, it's not just enough to do the actions. But what do you need? You need the emotional connection to it. As the Gemara tells us, Rachmana Liba Bai. Hashem wants our heart. Hashem doesn't just want us to be robots, to be going through the motions by rote in a mechanical fashion, but He wants us to mean what we're saying. Davening isn't just spewing of words, but it's supposed to be an emotional experience. It's supposed to be an emotional connection. It's supposed to be something that comes from your heart. Yeah, we have words in the Siddur. But at its core, it's about an emotional connection to Hashem, something we've spoken to about a lot. Now, what's this velo nishba alimirma? That they don't promise falsely. So one is, that could just be part of the whole gestalt of integrity. The part of being integrity is that you're not devious. You don't deceive people. That you don't promise one thing and do another thing. It says the Malbim something astounding. Anyone who's learned Tanya will be familiar with this Malbim. There's a promise, according to the Gemara in Masechet Nida, that every single one of us makes when we're in the womb as we're about to be born. And that promise is that we are going to be a tzaddik and we're not going to be a rasha. We make a promise to Hashem. Hashem comes to us in the womb and he says, Phil Moskowitz, I wasn't Phil at the time, and Hashem probably didn't call me Phil, but he called me Gabriel Pinchas Moskowitz. Right? In fact, I was supposed to be Gabriel Philip until the night before my birth. And then I forgot why, but my parents pulled a switcheroo. So I'm Philip Gabriel. Right? Philip means what? Anyone know? Okay, one of the great ironies in my life. I hate animals. Philip means lover of horses in Greek. Now, lest you think that my mom didn't know what she was naming me when she named me that, my mom majored in Greek. So she knew she was naming me love of horses. Anyways, Mom, I forgive you. It's all good, right? But so Hashem came to me, and he said, Gavriel Pinchas Maskowitz, you promise me that you are going to do good by me in this world, that you're going to be a tzaddik, and you're not going to be a rasha. You're not going to be a wicked person. And every single person, says the Gemara, makes that promise to Hashem. So says the Malbim, that when we say, Velo nishba limirma, that we're not going to swear falsely, what it means is that we are going to live up to that promise that we made to Hashem. That we're going to live up to that standard that we made with Hashem. Says the Malbim, Kishenotzar Adam, Nerdole Gal Rosho, that when a person was created, a Nerdole Gal Rosho, there was a light that was ignited on top of our heads. Ukshayotze La'avir Olam, and when we came into this world, Mashbim Oso, they made us promise. Hayat tzaddik v'alti rasha, that you're going to be a good person. Now the amazing part about it means that we each were born into this world with that capacity to be that tzaddik. Haner, and what was that ner? What was that light that was ignited over our heads? Hi haneshama ha'elokis. That was the divine soul. Ner elokis, nishmas adam. It was our godliness. It was that part of Hashem. Ve'ashvua hema kochos ha'mosriot. It was the capacity that Hashem put inside every single one of us. It means we have that potential to be that tzaddik. Okay? That are compelling us, that are encouraging us to do good. Okay? The same way that a swear or a promise forces you to do the right thing. Right? I might not want to do something, but if I promise someone I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it anyways. So we promised Hashem. And says the Malbim, that's what should compel us to do the right thing. I think it's a beautiful idea. But that's v'lo nishba le'mirma. Hashem, we're not going to swear falsely. We're going to live up to that potential. Okay, so who's going to ascend to this mount? It's the one who lives with integrity. Pasuk 5 is again a little bit out of place. Yisa bracha me'is Hashem. That person will receive the bracha from Hashem. Utzdaka melohei sho, and again, he's going to be the beneficiary of God's kindness. Zet dor dorshav, mivakshei panecha, yako sela. This is a nation of seekers. Dor dorshav, a nation that seeks out Hashem, mivakshei panecha. They are searching for your face. Beautiful imagery. All right, God, of course, is not overt in this world. He is cloaked. He is hidden. And it's our job to be mevakshei panecha. We want to find Hashem. We want to seek Hashem. That's our job. Yaakov Sela. What is Yaakov doing here? What does Yaakov have to do in a pasuk of Zed Dor Dor Shav that this is a nation that's seeking Hashem? So we'll have to see that in a little bit. Se'usharim Rasechem, pasuk 7, very famously, right? Se'usharim Rasechem, lift up your gates, right? Gates, lift up your head. V'inasu pischei olam. And again, uplift your openings, v'yavo melech hakavod, so the God, so that the honorable king can come through, miuzeh melech hakavod, who is this king that's coming through the gates? Adonai izuz v'gibor, Adonai gibor milchama. It's a strong God. It's a God of war, God of battle. Then we repeat it with minor changes. Se'ushar moshechem, again, lift up your head, O gates. Utsu'u pischei olam, and again, open up your doors, lift up your doors. V'yavo melech hakavod, and again, this melech, this This king is going to come. Mi uze melech hakavod? Who is this king? Adonai Tzvos, hu melech hakavod tzela. This is God, the God of the firmament, the God of the heavens. Melech hakavod tzela. He is the ultimate God. That's the end of the chapter. Now, what do we have to figure out? So number one is, if you think about the structure of the verses, so Psukim 1 and 2 talk about God as the creator of the universe. Verses 3 through 6 are kind of this parenthetical of who's going to ascend the mountains. Is someone with integrity, and they're going to receive the blessing from Hashem, and that's the generation of seekers. And then you have 7 through 10, which is about God coming and opening up the gates. And none of those three parts seem to make any sense, one to another. So the Radak writes, and many of the other Meforshim, that this chapter of Tehillim was composed by David HaMelech, and the goal was that it would be recited at the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Radak says that this was recited when David HaMelech purchased the land upon which the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt, or built, and that his goal was that this would be recited as the Aron Kodesh was being brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if that's the case, then a lot of this makes sense. We understand why the last four verses talk about Se'ush Aron Moshechem, right? Lift up your gates, open your gates. Who's coming in? God is coming in. Okay, that makes sense. That's going to be recited as the Aron is being brought into the Beis HaMikdash for the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. And you can almost picture in your mind the euphoria that was taking place as Shlomo HaMelech, David's son, is building the Beis HaMikdash, is inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash. Finally, the Aron, the Ark representing God in his Shechina, is being brought into the Beis HaMikdash, that final piece of the puzzle, and everyone is singing and dancing, and you kind of get that pomp and circumstance when you read verses 7 through 10. Finally, Hashem in his providence, are entering into the Beis HaMikdash. Se'ush Aron Moshechem, right? And when do we sing these words a lot? On Simchas Torah, Se'ush Aron Moshechem, right? As we're returning the Torah to the Aron, it's festive. It's exciting. There's this euphoria. So I get that. If that's the case, I also understand why we read this chapter of Tehillim when we return the Torah to the Ark. Makes perfect sense. We want to tap into that excitement. Again, the Torah isn't just something that is something we're used to. But when we return to the Torah, to the Aron, so it should be an exciting experience. In Israel, they sing this a lot. We in America don't sing so much. But, right, it should be something exciting. You're escorting the Torah of Hashem back to the Aron. But what then does the rest of the parak have to do with it? Why are we talking about creation here? And why are we talking about Mi'ale Bahar Hashem, Mi'akum. So let's start, we'll go backwards. So we understand 7 through 10. I even understand Psukim 3 through 6. Mi'ale Bahar Hashem, U'mi'akum bimkom kacho. Who can ascend this mountain? What Shlomo HaMelech is essentially telling people, right, is that, or what David HaMelech wants Shlomo to be telling people, is that this Beis HaMikdash isn't just a real estate purchase. It's not just a piece of land, but it's something you have to earn. You have to earn the right to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. You have to earn the right. You have to be worthy of it. How are you going to ascend to the Beis HaMikdash? How are you going to be worthy of sustaining this level of spirituality? So that's the Neki Kapayim. You have to, your actions have to be worthy. Uvar Levav, your heart has to be in it. Lo Nasa Lashav, you have to be a person of integrity. And if that's the case, then this isn't just a plot of land, but you have to be worthy of that plot of land. And that's how the Radak, and that's how the Malbim read this Perek Tehillim. That David HaMelech's intention is that as Shlomo is bringing the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, and they're inaugurating it, and they're creating a place for Hashem to dwell, they're communicating to the people that it's not just enough to go through the motions. You can't just show up on inauguration day, but you have to be worthy of the Beis HaMikdash. You have to be worthy of that relationship with Hashem. We're still left with the first two psukim. Yeah?
So I think that might explain in contemporary times, since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, You read it on Sunday because we've just experienced Shabbos, where we are at an all-time spiritual high, and the person might get depressed, saying, how am I going to face the next 6 days till we get to Shabbos again? So this is coming to tell us that we are all a Mikdash Ma'at.
Correct.
We're all wired with everything that we need 100%. Inside of us. And that's how you start the week. And it gives you chizuk that you are an
you can.
You can aspire with all those characteristics that are already within you.
Within you.
So you can make it from Sunday until the next
I love it. And again, that's where we're headed. And I love it, right? Obviously, Tehillim isn't just about the moment in time that David HaMelech wrote it. Tehillim is about tapping into that moment and extrapolating its themes and its messages for our lives. And I think 100% what David HaMelech wants us to tap into is that notion that even absent the Beis HaMikdash, our shul, our homes, our lives are supposed to be a Mikdash Ma'at. The same way that the Beis HaMikdash in we'll get to this in a second, but the Beis HaMikdash was God's dwelling place in this world, whatever that means, right? But it was a place where God was able to exist in a more physical sense in this world. And we don't have the Beis HaMikdash now, but we know that our shuls are a miniature Beit HaMikdash. We know our homes are a miniature Beit HaMikdash. And we know we are a miniature Beit HaMikdash. We have that capacity. And so yes, 100%. Hashem is telling us, though, the formulation, right? This is the recipe. This is how you create that Mikdash Ma'at. Mi'ale Bahar Hashem. In the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, who can come close to Hashem? Who can achieve and attain that spirituality? The formulation doesn't change. It's Niki Kapayim. Your actions have to be worthy. Your heart has to be pure and worthy. You have to be a person of honesty and integrity. You have to be a person of your words. You have to be a person who doesn't say one thing, but does the other. Okay? That same formulation is now the recipe for Yisa Bracha Meis Hashem. That is the recipe for achieving that blessing from Hashem. So 100%, right? That we read it on Sunday morning. I'll even take it a step further in a second. But yes, we read it on Sunday morning to give us that confidence as we go into the week. Yeah.
I have a much more mundane, less spiritual.
Yeah, go for it.
For Sunday, so it's the first day of creation, and it's Lashem Aretz Molad Elav Yoshev Aki or Yamim Yisada. It's
right.
It's the first day. It's really, that's why I said on Sunday.
So that's where I'm getting to. So 100%. Because what we haven't yet grappled with is the first two psukim, but they're not mutually exclusive. Yeah, I don't believe, right? That the first two psukim are really like stick out like a sore thumb, because this is all beautiful. But as you're all pointing out, what in the world does it have to do with the fact that Hashem is La Hashem Aretz Mal'ah, that the whole world belongs to Hashem because He created it and He fashioned it and He made it all work in nature? What does that have to do with the next part of this beautiful idea of aspiring for greatness and Mevakshei Hashem? What does that have to do with it? So the answer is, so on the most literal level, I believe that what it's talking about is that the entire purpose of creation is for Hashem to dwell in, right? The Beit HaMikdash was the fulfillment of creation. God didn't just create the world with a separation between heaven and earth. There are mediums that God gives us to connect heaven and earth. One of them is Torah. Torah is, I would say, the central way that we're able to connect heaven and earth. Torah is God's playbook. He gives us His blueprint, and He says, by studying it, you now connected the earth to me, which is why the Torah is such an earthly work. Think about, what is the Torah? It doesn't philosophize about spirituality. It's a very practical work. But even more than that, mitzvos are very physical. Right? They're not spiritual. Mitzvos are physical, but by that physicality, by living a certain physical life here on this earth, we believe we connect ourselves to that spirituality. That's the Torah. The Beis HaMikdash is another example of something that connects heaven and earth. And in that way, it's the fulfillment of creation. God created the world so that you and I would be able to connect heaven and earth. Okay? The Mishkan. Think about the Mishkan. The Ramban, a very famous Ramban, and at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, where he says that if you tell me that the whole purpose of Sefer Shmos is simply Exodus. So then I'll tell you that Sefer Shemot works until Parshas, let's say Bishalach, but Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakah, Pekudei, all of the Parshiot that talk about the Mishkan make no sense. What then, says the Ramban, is the purpose? He says the whole purpose of the redemption is to get us to the Mishkan. Because what is the Mishkan? It's God's dwelling in this world. That's the fulfillment of the redemption. That's the fulfillment of our mandate and our mission. This Perikat Tehillim is no different, right? God created the world, Lashem Aretz Umla. He created the heavens and the earth, blah, blah, blah. But what's the purpose of all of that? The purpose of all of that is for us to connect the two of them, for us to create a Beis HaMikdash. Now, absent of a Beis HaMikdash, right, as you said, we do it through our actions. We do it through the lives that we live. We do it through the Torah that we learn. We do that through our integrity. That creates that connection. Now, you're saying that's why we read it on Sunday. We're reading on Sunday because it's the first day of creation, so we talk about God as the creator. Let's just take it a step further. Right? We read it on Sunday because Sunday, I believe, is we're starting with this. You have this confidence on Sunday. It's almost like we spoke about when you wake up in the morning and you just feel like this is going to be the day. I'm going to conquer that day. So we start off on Sunday with high expectations for what the week is going to look like and what we're going to achieve. We're coming off a Shabbos. We have a fresh start. And then what does the Torah tell us? What does David HaMelech tell us? That mi alai b'har Hashem. With that confidence also comes expectations. There's an expectation for how you're going to live your life and how you're going to conduct yourself and what your relationship with Hashem is going to look like. So we begin with this confidence. And when we have that confidence, we remind ourselves that it all belongs to Hashem. That all of this world, all of the things that we hope to accomplish, we're not just running after money and honor and success, but we're running after this relationship with Hashem. That's the message the Torah wants us to have on Sunday morning, is how to channel that confidence, how to channel all of that. But perhaps it's a little bit more. Right? I'll share with you a separate idea, which is that we start off with God as the creator of the world. We end off with Mi'aleh, right? Su'ushar Moshechem, Uhusu Pischei Olam, V'yavo Melech HaKavod. Mi'u Zeh Melech HaKavod, Hashem Tzvakos, Hu Melech HaKavod Sela. Who is the king? Who is the all-powerful being? Hashem. Now, are we mentioned at the end? No. We're not mentioned at the beginning, because it's all about God. He's the creator. And we're not mentioned at the end because it's all about God. And yet, we exist in the middle. After all, isn't that our existence on earth? Right? Our existence on earth is short and fleeting and ephemeral. So God existed before us, and God exists after us, and we're given a short period of 120 years on this earth to make the most of that experience. So perhaps this entire chapter is really our existence on this earth. That Lashem Aratumullah, Hashem created the heavens and the earth long before you and I were here. And you know what? Hashem is going to be here long time after you and I are here. We're given a chunk of time in the middle. And it's what we call the dash, right, famously. And it's what we do with that time that defines our existence. And those are the psukim of Nekika Kapayim, Uvar Levav, Asher Lo Nasal Hashav Nafshi, Velo Nishba Lemimra. How are we going to maximize our time on this earth is going to define our relationship with Hashem, right? Did we use our time to be mamlich Hashem, to coronate Hashem, to give nachas to Hashem, right? To bring Hashem into this world? Or did we use our time to push Hashem out of this world? Okay? And if you read it in that way, so I think it is a very sobering parak of Tehillim. It's a very eye-opening chapter because it really reminds us about our responsibility, our expectations of our time here on this earth. But I think it's also really empowering. I was talking to someone just yesterday, and we were talking about life, afterlife, etc. I said, if you don't believe in the afterlife, if you don't believe that there's this concept of reward and punishment in Olam Haba, I don't get how you don't go crazy in this world. How you see suffering and poverty and homelessness, And you don't go crazy, because if this is the totality of existence on this earth, the world is a miserable, horrible place of suffering. I mean, let's be honest, right? But if you believe that there's something greater, that you live for something greater, that you exist as part of something greater, that our actions can set into motion something that can last eternally, so that, it doesn't make it easier, trust me, but at least it gives you a little bit of confidence, it gives you a little bit of hope, it gives you a little bit of knowledge that while there might still be suffering, and there might still be hardship, and things don't always go our way, and not everything is always hunky-dory and rosy, but I'm planting seeds that last eternally, because God outlasts me. And if I connect myself to Hashem in His Torah, and live a life that He has asked me to live, then I have now connected myself to eternality. I have now connected myself to something that's going to live far beyond me. Not to make anyone depressed, but who knows the names of their great-great-grandparents, right? Or who knows anything about them? So I'll be honest, I don't know, my brother is much better than him. He has the photographic memory. I don't have a lot, right? My grandparents I know very well. My great-grandparents, I'm okay. Great-great-grandparents, I'm looking at maybe they exist on some family tree somewhere. Now you could say that's very depressing. Because that means that within three generations, at best, you'll be forgotten, right? At best. At worst, you won't even have been a speck of dust on the earth. Right? But that's reality. But we, and I mean, I truly believe this, and it's what makes it all worth it. Because as Rabbi Leff, when he was here earlier this year, he said, people make the mistakes. We tell people that Judaism is exciting and fun. He said, that's not true. Judaism isn't always exciting and fun. There are many parts of Judaism that are hard. But he said, what we have to communicate is that Judaism is worth it. That's a big difference. If it's always fun, then the second it stops becoming fun, I chuck it out the window. Because you know what else is fun? Going to baseball games and basketball games, and I can do those on Saturday, and right? But it's worth it. We're bought into a system that we believe is worth it, that we believe passing on to our children and our grandchildren is worth it. Because by doing so, we connect ourselves to that eternality. That's why the imagery that's communicated here is of a mountain. What does a mountain mean? So a mountain, you have to climb the mountain. There are no shortcuts to climbing a mountain. Climbing the mountain is hard work. It's a lot of effort. It takes risk. It's dangerous at times, right? But you climb it. You put in the effort. And what happens when you get to the top of that mountain?
Satisfaction.
It's bliss. It's utopia. It's this amazing feeling. And then when you look down at the path that led you there, so all the twists and the turns make sense because it got you to the top of that mountain. Right? Mi ya'ale b'har Hashem, says Hashem. How do you climb that mountain? What keeps you going? What makes it all worth it? It's the neki kapayim uvar livav. That's both how you climb the mountain and what makes the mountain worth it. Because when you get to that top, you connect yourself to that eternality. It makes all of the hardships and all of the twists and the turns, it makes it worth it because we believe that we live on this world not just for the 120 years that we're here, but for something far greater for ourselves. We're living to bring Hashem into this world. That's my contribution to the eternality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the eternality of Hashem. So I find this Perek HaTehillim amazingly inspiring. I really do. I think it reminds us of what it's all about. Of that honesty, of that integrity, of living lives, not of hypocrisy, but of our actions in our heart, right? That's what this is all about, but it's so much more. It's a reminder that Hashem created the world, that Hashem is going to exist far after you and I exist, and we're given a chunk of time in the middle, from Psukim 3 through 7 in the middle, that's our time on this earth, to make the most of it. Not just to chase after honor and money and wealth and prestige, but to chase after something that's far more valuable, something that's going to connect us and tap us into nothing short of lives of eternality. That's why if you think about it, the word for success in Judaism is what? There's another word. What's another word? Nitzachon. Right?
Victory,
success, victory. What does Nitzachon also mean?
Eternality.
Nitzchius. Eternality is the same word as success in Judaism, right? What is the success that you and I want? So some people, it's to become partner. And some people, it's to make the next $1 million. And some people, it's to have the nicer car. right? For us, again, those are all nice, but what's real success is Pasuk 4, Nikki Kapayim, Uvar Levav, is to live those lives of integrity. And if we do that, then we tap into Nitzchias. Then we tap into that sense of eternality. So now, we each have homework. Because as opposed to other chapters, you have to work hard to say them. This chapter is going to be front and center in our face. You put back the Torah on a weekday, you're going to say it every Sunday morning, and you're going to say it on Rosh Hashanah. And at least now, hopefully, we'll have a greater understanding and appreciation of why David HaMelech wrote this and how it could be meaningful for our lives. As we do every week, we'll now